KDJW Mobile.
Twin KD2VNG Mobile. Hey, I was on my way to try to get some replacement computer parts, but I realize they're probably not open today.
Rounding around for computer parts, too. I had a trying to get faster boot time, faster run time with NVMe storage. Have you fiddled around with NVMe yet?
I've not. But as far as storage is concerned, you've already got some sort of solid state whatchamacallit on there now anyway, right?
It's MSATA. MSATA is kind of on the way out the door. It's pretty old now, and it's being replaced by NVMe, which the difference between the two is the MSATA will do about 300 megabytes a second, whereas a hard drive is doing good when it gets 100 megabytes a second. So it's about three times faster than a hard drive. The NVMe will do 3 gigabytes a second. It's a super improvement.
This computation intensive, is hard drive throughput that much a limiting factor? I mean, yeah, you can boot the system faster, right?
Well, it's not for computation. It's because 24 operating systems run or boot up through the network. So it's serving up 24 OSs, complete everything, even their log files are all being served through the internet, or not the internet, the network. And they're all coming off of one drive. So the faster that drive is, the better off all the nodes are, all 24 nodes are.
What about that? What was the rationale, we said, behind going on for NetBoot and not just have every machine have its own local copy? I mean, you said you thought it was faster. It's certainly not going to be any simpler.
Beginning, the rationale was because the weakest point to a Raspberry Pi is its SSD card. So the next step up is to put them on, do a USB boot through an MSATA drive or a hard drive. But you don't want 24 of those. That gets expensive. And the next best thing is to have them network boot, so you don't have any dependency on any storage attached to them. You just use your dependency that you already have on the network.
Yeah, yeah. But other than the boot time, I mean, once you're booted, even if 24 things have to boot individually. All right, yeah, I can sort of see what you're saying.
Significantly faster, but I put it in there. I put the NVMe drive in there, got it to recognize it. And then I had the MSATA out so that I could copy the files over the work they were in process of doing. Then when I put the MSATA back in, it wouldn't recognize the NVMe. So I was back and forth, back and forth. Finally got some BIOS settings that allowed both of them to exist at the same time on the same computer.
Yeah, I've got to pick up my... I got problems with my own... I had power problems at the house. I mean, I had power going up and down, up and down, up and down. This one breaker kept blowing out, kept tripping. And that just eventually caused a problem with every hard drive on every system. And here's the funny thing. You know what I found out? There's about 20 outlets in four rooms of the house that are all going through one breaker, a 15-amp breaker. And there's even a couple of air conditioners on that circuit. How this has gone this long without burning the house down, I don't know. But, yeah, I was having all kinds of hell breaking loose, because every 15 minutes I was tripping that breaker.
Landing in that dark cloud, at least this exposed it, the problem, so that you can address it.
Good way to address it, other than run more wiring. Because it looks like the master bedroom, all the outlets of the overhead light. The living room, all the outlets of the overhead light. Probably that one bedroom that I'm using for storage, so let's discount that one. And the quarter bedroom, where all the other equipment is. All those outlets and all those overhead lights are going through one 15-amp breaker, And also, there's two air conditioners, and more recently, there's three air conditioners. So I don't know what genius decided to wire things this way. To wire it correctly is going to be, you know, a major problem. I'd have to just run more wire and, you know, crawl into the crawl space, and it's going to get nasty if I decide to fix it.
Buddy, that just used electricity very lightly and didn't take it serious in each room.
14-gauge wire, so putting in a heavy breaker doesn't solve the problem. Put a 20-amp breaker. With thicker wiring, I would. With thinner wire, I don't think I'd dare. So, you know, I don't know if I could really solve the problem. But, yeah, this is the first time I've seen it because I recently added the other air conditioner, and this summer has been probably one of the hotter summers I've seen in a while. So they're all going full out almost all the time.
But you don't want to burn the house down. And with adding an air conditioner plus you're doing number crunching, yeah, that's, I know that's a lot of work, but it's got to be done.
It's got to be done. It's just going to be a nasty thing to do. You know, I've rewired houses before as far as wiring everything on the outside, like from the pole up to the meter box up to the circuit panel. And I should have gone further in that case and redone all the exterior wiring. But at that point, all the interior wiring. But at that point now, you're ripping into walls, things like that.
Some for network access. I just went up to the roof, and you know, the attic, and drilled holes through the beams instead of tearing out the walls.
I could try that. I mean, mobile home construction, there's no real attic or crawl space or anything like that. I'd have to go underneath somehow and try to, you know, I'd have to come up from below would be the only way. I wouldn't mind doing things like that for the simple reason of putting, like, Ethernet wiring everywhere.
Definitely be worth it. I mean, I know nobody likes to crawl under the crawl space, but a whole lot better to crawl under the crawl space than get burned out and not have a place to live, you know? W4DJW.
Yeah, KD2BNG. In my current state of overall health, though, I don't know that, well, you know, sooner or later I got to get down there anyway, because I think that's where the major colony is. I've got the planet Klondathu down there, so I got to set off a major bunch of bug bombs in the crawl space anyhow.
Where they ingest it and they take it down in the hole with them and all of them get the whole thing all at once?
Which may... tried that with limited success, yeah. It's at the point where it's just like it's there's almost too many of them. In other words, you can't, the kill rate can't overtake the breeding rate. That's how bad it's gotten.
Food to them, so no matter how many there are, there's, if you put enough food out there, they're going to eat it. And the ones that survive are going to eat what's left. You just have to keep shoveling at them until they eat, until nobody's left to eat.
Gotta eat the dead ones. I've seen that happen. Kind of a gross conversation. Don't want to get into it.
With the Einstein crunching, are you getting a handle on that? That one, I saw you're coming up through the ranks on that one.
Primarily due to that one machine that has a reasonably good video card. Yeah, my second highest leading butt kicker machine right now is the one that I have to fix. And I think my Windows installation got fragged. I got to reinstall Windows, reinstall all the software. I mean, that's not going to take long. But that one, there's two machines that, you know, that have been doing well, and the rest are kind of dead weight. But the one with the good video card has been doing well on Einstein.
that had an ATI Radeon video card in it. It was a pretty decent card in its day. I figured it'd do good, but I could not get a driver, no matter what. No matter what I did, I could not get a driver in Linux to run that card. And they did. There was a lot of people complaining about poor support from the manufacturer. So I finally just broke down and got a cheap NVIDIA 1650. It's a $150 card. It's not like a 980 or a 2070 or a 2080. It's nothing like that. It's only got like 700 CUDA cores versus those others have over 2,000. But it's doing pretty good. It's doing probably half of what those others are doing for $150, which is like one-tenth the cost of those other ones.
Not as well supported as NVIDIA is under most Linux distributions. I was going to say, if you have no strong objections, throw like Windows 7 on everything. Or, you know, because I know for Windows, there's drivers. It might take, you need that ATI Catalyst program if you're using ATI video cards, because that'll automatically find whatever driver is needed. But, you know, that's a good a reason as any to, if it's not doing anything anyway, just run Windows on it.
That box, that was the only box that didn't have, you know, other, I'm still trying to figure out how to use the GPU on the Raspberry Pi. I haven't figured that out yet. But once I do, I'll add Einstein to those. But I don't have another box to put that card in, because that replacement NVIDIA took up that box. And it's working now. So, but I would like to see that ATI Radeon go to crunching. If you've got a box you want to put it in, you're welcome to it.
ATI Radeon, like 4800 series. I've already got one in the big giant home built computer. But you know what? You can also network those things together. What is it, Crossfire X or whatever ATI protocol is? Their protocol for basically networking together all the video RAM and all the GPU cores. So that's the sort of thing you use to build that.
I bought my first NVIDIA. They had that. You could buy one now and then buy one with the cabling to network them together. I guess you have to have two PCI slots, and that's why I never did it, because I only have one by 16 PCIe. My others are either by 8 or by 4 or by 1, and those just won't. You can't put a video card on those. But if you want to try it out, it'd be good to see some work units coming out of it. Even if you're the one that's producing them, you're welcome to it. Free of charge. Otherwise, it's just sitting there not doing anything.
Yeah, what number it is, because, the home-built machine, I'm pretty sure there's another PCI Express slot. And, If you look closely at the card too, you'll see there's like two edge connectors on the top of the card. So there's a cable to physically run from one card to the other. Or I guess if there's two connectors, maybe to two other cards. And I guess some master-slave configuration, you could have two video cards, or maybe more than two. People in the early days of Bitcoin mining, cryptocurrency mining, used to do that.
770, and it does take, I think it's a 6-pin power plug, because it can't get enough juice from the PCIe, from the pins on the PCIe, so it has a supplemental plug. And it was running on a 350-watt power supply, which is pretty small nowadays, anyway. So, as long as you got 350 watts or better and you've got a 6-pin for a graphics card that you can spare to plug it into, it should work. Model 5770.
I've got another 6-pin. In fact, there's two 6-pin connectors on that particular power supply. Either, you know, the giant system I built or one of the other systems. I built this thing about 10 years ago as a hackintosh, you know, maybe just proof of concept. I should have just, I'll put Linux or Windows or something on it. But, yeah, you know, the full ATX motherboard, so there's like 6 or 7 slots there. I'm pretty sure at least 2 of them are PCI Express 16. At least 2 of them are.
Well, let me know. We'll figure out something to get it in your hands if you decide you want to try that. But that's just going to consume more electricity because they do consume a lot. So think about that, too. But you're welcome to it. I am at home, and I'm about to back in the driveway or in the garage. And when I do that, my antenna gets really close to the metal garage door, which means I can't talk. Anyway, good talking to you, Glenn. Let me know. We'll figure something out if you decide you want it. KD2BNG, W4DJW.
KD2BNG. All right, 73s. I'm sure we'll discuss this later. You have a good one, and I'll be clear.